the one thing in common that all of us as humans have to deal with. One thing in common that all of us as humans have to deal with, and that is the matter of hurts. Suffering is a universal language. Perhaps one of the most pondered question in the Bible when it comes to the saved is, why do the righteous suffer? The most pondered question as far as getting an answer as to why that suffering or testing or hurts, even as part of the life that you and I are called upon as Christians to live. And the matter that realizing that as Christians, we're to be different. All of us are going to get hurt, and all of us are going to have some negative things come into our life. But it's all independent as to how you and I as Christians respond to it and what makes the difference. So I want you to look with me to 1 Peter, and we'll be looking to verses in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, after we've had prayer, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blessing. There's already been hours to be in the house of the Lord with your people. Thank you again, Lord, for the spiritual refreshment that has been ours to be in fellowship with these dear saints of God and with the good music and, Lord, for this precious pastor and his wife, what they mean to us personally and what they mean to this ministry and these people. And Father, we just pray again that you might meet with us tonight in the service. Lord, you know my heart, and I've been praying throughout the day and seeking God's will and God's direction. Even Lord, this afternoon changed the message that I had earlier thought I might bring tonight. So I pray that the one, Lord, that you've led me to here, the First Peter, might meet a spiritual need. Someone here tonight that this message might minister to and meet the needs in a special way. And Lord God, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer. For we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three thoughts that I want to share with you from these opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll give you the outline, and then we'll put the pieces together, all right? First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we as believers have treasures that are eternal. Treasures that are eternal. We'll come to those in a moment. And then in verse 6, I want you to see that our troubles are only temporary. Our troubles are only temporary. And then in verse 7 through 9 of this first chapter of 1 Peter, our trials are filled with the purposes of God. First, our treasures are eternal, our troubles are only temporary, and our trials are filled with the promises of God. Look with me, first of all, if you would, in chapter 1, in verses 1 through 5, where Peter, under Holy Spirit inspiration, writes these words of instruction as well as of encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The matter that he says then in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We say that in the midst of our trials and our testings and our hurts and our reverses that we may encounter as believers, we need to remind ourselves that our treasures are eternal. Notice, if you would, as to how the Apostle Peter, inspired of the Holy Spirit, enumerates what these treasures are. First of all, notice our standing there in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The matter realizing that our position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's election that's based wholly on grace. The matter of realizing that our standing before God is that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It is neither my time nor my desire to develop that other than to accept it. Let the Bible tell us about our standing as a treasure. And then notice, if you would, in verse 2, there's not only our treasure in our standing, but in our sanctification. And in verse 2, he said, in our sanctification of the Spirit. That is, that we've been set apart. We've been set apart for the honor and glory of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been sanctified by the Spirit of God. We have been set apart for the honor and glory of God. What a treasure is that even in the midst of our hurts, God reminds us that he has set us apart through the Holy Spirit. And then notice the third treasure enumerated in these opening verses is that of salvation. In verse 2, he said, by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Christ's blood being shed to pay my sin penalty and yours, we couldn't be saved tonight. So the great treasure that we have is salvation that is ours through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are recipients of the grace of God. And by the way, all you have to do is just accept God's grace. Don't try and explain it away. Don't try and get involved in all of the deep theology. Just the matter that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves as the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our salvation is by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And having done that, we are recipients of the grace of God. And having enjoyed the grace of God, we have found peace. Notice there in that same verse, we have found peace in that salvation. So we're talking about even in the midst of hurts, even in the midst of reverses, even in the midst of betrayals, that we as believers have treasures that are eternal. But notice then also, if you would, again in verse 3, the statement here concerning those treasures. Blessed be God the Father, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ provides for us a lively hope, a living hope. We tried to deal with the subject of hope this morning in regard to its association with the second coming. The matter that hope maketh not ashamed. And here again, the security that you and I have as believers through the resurrection of Christ, it provides a lively hope, a living hope. Every day that we live, even in those days where we may be hurt and may have been hurt, we still have a living hope in the security that's found in Christ. Security. By the way, I believe in eternal security, don't you? Yeah, I believe that once we're saved, you're eternally saved. And once you're genuinely saved, you cannot get lost. So the matter of the security that is in the believer. One writer said, if God brought Jesus through the most painful of trials and from the pit of death, certainly God can see you and I through whatever we face. Again, if God brought Jesus, his son, through the most painful of trials and from the pit of death itself, certainly God can meet your needs and minds. So the security that is ours in Christ. And then notice, if you would, in verse 4, the fifth treasure, as Peter reminds these believers of, is the matter of our eternal inheritance. For an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Safety in home. Safety in home. The promise of eternal heaven. You see, our ultimate home is heaven. I know I've often quoted that old song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Heaven is the ultimate home of the redeemed. The Lord said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, it's a place that is reserved under the constant, omnipotent surveillance of Almighty God. That inheritance cannot be destroyed, that inheritance cannot be defiled, that inheritance cannot be diminished, that inheritance cannot be displaced. It's eternal in the heavens, safely home, that Jesus Christ has promised for us. And then notice the sixth treasure, as he enumerates it here in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by God's power, and we will be his forever. I'm glad that our salvation is not dependent upon you and I holding on to him, but knowing fully that it's dependent upon his holding on to us. The matter that we are kept by his power, and we will be his forever and forever and forever and forever. One writer said, under heaven's lock and key, we are protected by the most efficient security system in all the world, being the power of God. In that security system, there is no disorder, there is no disease, there's not even death that can steal away God's ultimate protection over our lives as believers. We are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But what wonderful treasures, as Peter enumerates them here, in our standing, in our sanctification, our salvation, our security, our being safely home, and our sealing in the promises of God. But notice, if you would, in verse 6, he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Our troubles are only temporary. The things of God, the treasures of God, are eternal. But our troubles and trials are only temporary. They may cause a temporary cause of loss of joy, but true salvation brings joy that the world cannot bring. Our sins have been forgiven, eternal life has been granted, and we are now immune to indeed endure through trouble. We are not immune from trouble, where we know that it will not last when it comes. Someone has phrased it this way: life today is a school in which God trains us for our future ministry in eternity. This explains then the presence of trials in our lives, for the trials are some of God's tools and textbooks in the school of Christian experience. Hear that again: life today is a school in which God trains us for future ministry in eternity. Explaining the presence of trials in our lives are some of God's tools and textbooks in the school of Christian experience. So the matter that the troubles that you and I may encounter on this earthly journey as children of God are only temporary. Their position in Christ, however, is permanent. Discouragement is but for a season, but for a short period of time, but for temporary time. Discouragement is only for a season. Dr. Cummins, my hero pastor, used to say in defining the word discourage, he said, discourage is a good word with a bad prefix. It's a good word. Courage is a good word. When you add to it the prefix dis, it's a bad prefix. So it's a courage is a good word, but discouragement indeed is that which is only for a season. This was Paul's reason for rejoicing in trouble. He knew that they were going to pass, knew that wasn't brought through his trials. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, like you or I, or perhaps even more greatly than you or I, had his own share of pains and imprisonments and betrayals and persecutions and physical threat to his life. And yet even there in the Philippian jail, in prison, Paul could sing the praises of God for his persecution. So I'm here to tell you that we need to relish the treasures that are ours, that are eternal, even in the midst of those tests. And we need to recognize that the troubles themselves are only temporary, but for a season. And a wonderful promise in Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Look forward to that time in eternity, aren't you? As to where there be no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more death. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, even in those times of rejoicing. So the matter that our troubles here are only temporary. And then the third thought, if you look in verses 7 through 9, in the context of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The believer's trials are filled with the promises of God. I'd like for you to write this statement down, if not in the margin of your Bible or on a piece of paper. I saw this in the front of a Christian business last year, and I wrote it down for my benefit, and it's so simple. But in regard to the matter of talking about Christians growing and maturing, and here's the simple little statement, it's this: grow through what you go through. Grow, G-R-O-W, through what you go through. I thought that's simple, isn't it? But yet it's sublime. We need to mature. We need to grow through what we are going through. We need to indeed hang on to the sure promises of God, and we need to mature in the things of Christ as we're going through those difficult things. You see, all believers live in a circle of God's love. Nothing comes our way without God's knowledge. Nothing comes to us but through his loving hand. Romans 8:28 says, "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28 doesn't say all things are good, but Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to the called according to those of his purpose. We need to grow through what we go through. We need to mature and blossom in the times of hardship as well as in the times of blessing. Every experience is designed to make you and I more and more like Jesus Christ. Every experience, every trial, every heartache, as well as every blessing, is put into our life that we might be more and more like Jesus. Oh, to be like thee, that old song says. Blessed Redeemer. The matter of desiring to have ourselves put aside so that Christ can have the preeminence. That in all things, that Christ might truly have the preeminence. Our trials are filled with the purposes of God. And if you notice there in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that trials test our faith to prove that it's real. Trials test our faith to prove that it's real. Notice again the 7th verse, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Trials test our faith to prove that it's real. Like Job of old, we as believers must come through the fire. That wonderful promise there in that book, and if there was any character in the Bible that certainly suffered, Job certainly suffered, did he not? But in Job chapter 23, he makes this declaration. But he, that is God, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, Job said, I shall come forth as gold. But he, that is God, knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Temporary trials will result in triumphant eternal praise, to the praise and honor and glory of the Lord. Life presents passing problems. They will seem so small when we see Jesus Christ. When we see him and compare our little meager circumstances that he called upon us to go through, we'll realize how great a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, the little chorus said. The present passing problems will seem small when we see Christ. I've been in the ministry now for 58 years plus, Diane and I together. And we've been in the position of pastor, and we've had the privilege of pastoring some wonderful, wonderful folks. And many times we find ourselves reminiscing back over some of the Christian folks that the Lord brought into our life. And on many occasions, as Diane and I have been speaking recently and reflecting back on some of our precious Christian friends, they were strong Christians in the matter that they were called upon, in many cases, to go through trying circumstances. They were called upon to go through the death of a spouse, or they were called upon to go through the death of a child, or they were called upon to go through the death of a parent, and other trials and testings, and learning more and more in our day and time today as to where that people, especially as we age, we seem to be having more maladies, more physical things that are impairing the matter of our life. Yet the matter, recognizing that all of these small little details will be nothing when we see the Savior, when we see him in his glorified state. And the matter, realizing that here Peter was writing under Holy Spirit inspiration, and to you and I, to be reminded that our treasures as believers are eternal. Don't let the devil, the world, or the flesh rob you of your eternal treasures that you have as a blood-bought, born-again believer. And recognize that in doing that, in verse 6, that the troubles, whatever it may be, that you and I may be called upon to go through is only temporary. It's only but for a season. And the matter, realizing that there will eventually be that crowning day, that glory day, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then these trials that are filled with the purposes of God, that we might grow through what we go through, that we might mature and develop more fully as children of God, that we might grow through what we go through in life. Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the encouraging instruction that the Apostle Peter gives to the believers that he ministered to. Thank you, Lord, that his words, even this many centuries later, should impact the life of each of us as Christians. Lord, we know that there are times as to where that we get discouraged, and that's only human, because we, even as believers, are still in clay bodies. And yet, Lord, filled with the Spirit of God, sanctified, set apart for the honor and glory of God, the rich, eternal, glorious presence of his power in our life. And Lord, I pray tonight in this service, and Lord, for the reason that you led me to go this direction instead of the other, that maybe there's just one person here tonight that just needed to have this word of encouragement from the Scriptures tonight to encourage them in their growth and in their maturity to the things of Christ, so that they don't throw in the towel, so we don't quit, so we don't give in and give up, but we might look up to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, I pray you might take your precious word, minister to individual hearts that are needed here tonight. Again, and I know it's the burden of this pastor and of these people. There's a precious one on the Sunday evening service that is here this evening and has never been saved. Oh, Lord God, how we pray they realize that the greatest need that they have, the only way that they're truly going to be able to successfully get through their trials is with the Lord's help when they trust him to save them. And so, Lord, I'd pray for that one that's lost here tonight, that they'd come here at the close of the service, let someone take a Bible, show them how to be saved and how to know that. And Lord, encourage the saint of God. Help us to realize, Lord, the sure promises of God that are there, that are eternal, that we can experience even here now as children of God walking on this earth. And so, Father, help us to honor and please you, minister your word. And Father, we pray and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to please stand with me and your pastor's coming. As you would stand with me, please, as your pastor comes, please.
A great challenge of encouragement this evening to understand that God is in control of everything that goes on, even when we don't understand what he's doing. And so praise the Lord for that. Turn to page number 15, if you would, tonight. We're going to sing Lead Me to Calvary.